United States of America, known as Land of the Free, Home of the Brave, has come to symbolize freedom throughout the world. People from all nations and from all walks of life have called the United States home. The United States has welcomed them with open arms. Indeed, the famed Statue of Liberty is the embodiment of this dream. In New York's public education system alone, its student body represents 145 countries. The United States has a deep affinity with Supreme Master Ching Hai. With her boundless love and compassion, Supreme Master Ching Hai has provided humanitarian assistance to many parts of the United States. In 1993, she sent relief teams to provide financial and material assistance to the victims of the six Midwestern states that were severely affected by heavy rain and flooding. On December 27, 1997, at a benefit concert, A Journey Through Aesthetic Realms, Supreme Master Ching Hai generously contributed $100,000 each to the Vietnam Children's Fund and the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. The following year, at another benefit concert, One World of Peace Through Music, she once more contributed generously, with two charity organizations being the recipients of her love. St. Jude Children's Research Hospital received $150,000, and the Starlight Children's Foundation received a check for $100,000. Additionally, in the face of one of the worst human tragedies ever to occur on U.S. soil, on September 11, 2001, Supreme Master Ching Hai responded immediately, sending relief teams from around the country and all over the world to Ground Zero in New York City. Supreme Master Ching Hai's financial contributions amounted to over $300,000 to organizations aiding the victims. To this day, Supreme Master Ching Hai continues to extend her loving compassion to all parts of the U.S. from Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, and Alabama, to California, Florida, Texas, Hawaii, and other states. We now invite you to listen to the following lecture by Supreme Master Ching Hai entitled Masterhood Means Selfless Love, given on November 12, 1993, in Texas, USA.
Supreme Master Ching Hai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
And as a matter of fact, his master, I invited him to tomorrow to meet you, his master.
Yeah?
Hey, Vietnamese.
Yeah. Always the little master. He's your teacher?
Aikido? Wow.
They were concerned there might be a conflict in the Kuan Yin and the...
Hapkido? No. No. I have many... Well, if you have time, they can show you the tape of all of the world martial art master who congregate sometimes in our place and display their strength. You know, some of people, they get a small stone like this. One of the monk, he's truly amazing. Normally, if you chop brick, it's easier. But this is a piece of hard stone, you know, small one and round. There's nowhere you can kind of get an angle or something. You just put it flat like this and chop like this. Wow, chop! If I have that hand, I don't need any knives for vegetable and fruit. Do you get that far yet? No, huh? You get even further. Oh, and I have another one, Chinese. He is not that way. He just do nothing, and if you touch him, you fall. He is a taekwondo. And I have qigong master if you want, all kind of martial arts, and judo and everything. Many of my monks are now mastering taekwondo, judo, or qigong even. So, okay, don't worry about that. Yes. If you're interested in martial art, it's very good for your body and mind. It's a kind of equilibrium that most of the martial art teachers find, yes? Before they reach the higher point. Yes, before. And one of our fellow practitioners, he is a master of Qi Gong as well as the Taekwondo. And he struggled before to find in his art the point of mindlessness, you know, of doing without doing. And he couldn't find it. But then after he get initiation, he thought, oh, that's it. That's it. That's the point he wants to reach in martial art. You know what I mean? And with the help of initiation, he got it quicker. Instead of practicing this longer time, he got it very quick. Yeah, so he know that. If you have time, you get to know him. He teach the teacher of martial art, you know what I mean? He's not the ordinary teacher. He teach kind of policemen and all that, army people and all that. He teach the teachers. He's a teacher of teachers. He's one of the best martial arts master in Taiwan and even in China. Not many are like him nowadays. Yes, because he didn't do nothing, but people fall. And you can never push him. It doesn't matter how many people. But he just like this, and then maybe 10 of them are rolling up to there or flying. You know what I mean? So people come and attack him, and he didn't do nothing. He just shrug his shoulder or something. Just like this, and they fly to that corner. Yes, really fly, because many of them have martial art themselves. But some of them are teacher of martial art. Therefore, they know his power. Yes. It takes somebody who knows something about the art to recognize his strength. Yes. So if you ask me how good he is, I cannot tell you. But I can only tell you from other martial arts masters that they really worship him. Yes. And this is one of our disciples. He used to be my bodyguard. Actually, he had job also. He's also kind of allopath doctor. And he has family, and his wife also a martial arts master. So if you go to Taiwan, be careful. I go to our center, and then you see what happened. No, but they're very peaceful. They just practice for the exercise of the body and the mind. Also to act out some negative energy, you know. When you feel like punching somebody, you just punch the wood. That's that, yeah. And nobody get hurt except yourself. We also love martial arts, so don't you worry. We have no allergy to anything, including religion or martial art or any kind of art. We have no allergy, yeah, because God is inclusive. You cannot make a dislike or like of anything. Just let it be a choice of individual, yes. But some choice a little bit less noble, so we might try to minimize this kind of choice. For example, that's why we choose a bloodless dinner, right? Because in that case, we minimize the choice of pleasing ourselves at the expense of other sentient beings' life. And that's some of those kind, but otherwise nothing extreme. You know what I mean? You know the martial arts master that I've just told you? If you first met him, he's a kung fu master, right? He never smiled. He never make joke. He practiced 13 hours every day in his art, whether standing, eating, sitting, sleeping, or talking with friends, he practiced his art. That's why he mastered it. 30 years he did that, 30 years. You know what I mean? But after he met me, I beat him up. Yeah. You know what? He cried himself to surrender. I did nothing. And he always cries still now. Every time he sees me, he cries. I don't know why. I done nothing to him. I never beat him. That's how I beat him up, you see. And another monk of mine, let me tell you, also beat that master up. You know how he did it? He made him laugh to death. Because when that martial arts master came first to our center, you see, he wanted to try all the monks to see which level they have. Because some of them already have some martial art experiences. So he wanted to try each of them to see what they already have in order to eliminate it first or to add it into their talent. So he tried one, and some of them just show off some of them. They call flamingo art, or sometimes fox art or tiger art. Yeah, all kind of things. So one of our monks has studied flamingo martial art before. So the martial art master just tell him to demonstrate how much he knows. And then just one stance, he beat the master up. You know why? He was crawling on the floor laughing to death. He beat him up on the floor. So I make him cry to surrender, and my monk made him laugh to death. So we two beat him. Yeah. No need violence. We just make him cry or laugh to death.
I believe there was a question his master may have raised about the conflict between Kuan Yin and other meditative type of practices.
For example?
I know that I've heard on some of your tapes that you recommend not mixing practices.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Perhaps you can clarify for us what you intend by
only
that.
When you do it to have anything to do with the breathing control, that's all. Otherwise, there's not much there. And for example, there are many kind of meditation, right? So there are some kind of so-called meditation. People say anything meditation, so we're confused. But actually there are different type. There's kind of mantra practice, we can call it mantra practice. You know, they recite in something, and people also call that meditation. So that's confusing, right? And then people tell you to pay attention to your breathing, you breathe in and breathe out, and that they also call meditation. And some people say to you, you have to pay attention to the solar plexus, abdomen here all the time, and that they also call meditation. Fine, nothing wrong with that. But we abuse the word meditation too much and confuse the people. Because otherwise I would say that everybody meditate anyhow. When I was interviewed on TV this morning, I said, yes, you meditate all the time. Some people meditate on money, some people meditate on girls, some people meditate on drugs when they don't have enough of it. Yeah, that's their meditation. When you pay attention to something in a very extravagant degree, that is when you meditate, right? You know what I mean? Therefore, I said to you, be concentrated, be one-pointed with my teaching. That's why you get the best result. If you meditate on my teaching and meditate on money at the same time, or meditate on mantra at the same time, of course you're divided, and that's very logical. I just tell you what's good for you. Whatever you want to do, you have to pay all your attention to that point. Is that right? Whether you meditate or you fix a car or you drive a taxi. If you don't pay attention to your driving, you will get into trouble. So that's very simple. Everything I tell you is just a good advice, it's a duty of a teacher. Whatever you know, you have to tell them. But of course you make the choice. You are responsible for your action, your success of your meditational practice. But I am responsible to tell you what is good for you. Everything I tell you is an age-old concentrated essence of a practitioner who wants to get away from all the traps of this materialism and who rise above this mind-matter controlling power so that he can realize there's something greater than his own body and his own machine, brain, computer. Understand? That's it. So all these are kind of secret codes, secret methods to speed yourself on the highway of spirituality. There's nothing dictating about that. Because if you don't do it, I never say anything to you. I never scold you, I never ring you and say, hey, you don't do it. Or I never check up on you. It's all your choice. The path of freedom is a path of responsibility, self-responsibility. So I never impose on anything, just suggest, just to tell you, this is a good way. If you do it, you surely get that. If you don't, okay, you get half or maybe three-quarters. You know what I mean?
Were you on the path, the meditation path, since you were a child, or at least vegetarian and near the child?
Wow, I think I got very late. I'm not so lucky like you. You're only 9 and you're already on the path. You see, we don't have to be on a path since we are a child. There is no fixed rule when you should be. But the earlier, of course, the better. You are very blessed, yes? And that's because you have blessed parents who guide you in the right direction in the early day. I didn't have that. See, I have to fight my way. And then take my parents along afterward. It's the wrong way around by us, you see? You know everything. Just that you're too lazy to think. And you deny yourself of your greatness, which you do. For example, this afternoon I have a hard time to convince this guy that he's a saint. All the while he is, and he don't believe it. He thinks a saint has to have a diploma. Yeah, but he's not in a sainthood, honey. So he thinks sainthood, in the school of sainthood, they have to also have a degree or something in order to show people that here, I got it, I'm a saint, you know, officially. But too bad we don't have that. It's no good for our ego. Everybody keep asking God. I tell him he's a saint and he don't believe me. So I try to tell him all the good quality of a saint which he possessed in one degree or another. I don't say he's a complete saint. That would be too much for him. He would die right now. But he has saintly quality. Therefore he did that and that and others. Because I told him he's an accomplished businessman, a very educated person, a rich, have beautiful wife and gorgeous daughter and have home, have everything in this material life he has. But all he wants is God. Now, if he's not a saint, what is he? It's very difficult to tell him that he's a saint, or any of you, that you are Buddha, and that you are similar to me, or at least more or less. But you don't want to reach a complete degree of sainthood for some reason. Maybe because you want to be closer to the feeling of human beings. Maybe because you do not yet recognize how great you are. Maybe because you do not have the opportunity to completely make use of your sainthood, of your wisdom. Therefore, you don't recognize yourself as such. No one has become a saint when he was born. Yes, when we were born into this world of Maya, of illusion, we have to undergo all the procedure of a human being. Like, we have to be ignorant again. We have to suffer all these illusionary desires and then the disappointment of non-fulfilling desire and all that kind of thing. Until one day we have enough of it and they say, okay, that's it now. Whatever I have, I have. If I don't, I don't. And that's the time when you reach complete liberation. You liberate yourself from all your own problems and your own self-made prison, your learned prejudices, yeah, of who you are. Because actually, if you trace down yourself, who you are, you're not there. Who is Dr. Craig, by the way? Yeah, before he was born, who is he? For example, before he was born, nobody know who Dr. Craig is. And now he's born. Okay, he's born into a Craig's family. And then everybody call him from his birth that he's Craig. Right. And then so he grows up with the Craig's name. And then he gets a university degree. And that's added more into his own possession of individual. And so he recognized himself as such, as a law university graduate. And then he know more about books. He learned from books, and he learned from this, and he learned from business, and that all this knowledge we call Dr. Craig. Actually, if the knowledge is you, then you are just knowledge. You are just nothing. Because if you didn't learn all this, then you never exist. If you didn't learn how to speak, if you didn't learn how to eat, if you don't learn how to dress yourself, if you don't learn at university, what are you? So, most of us identified ourselves with all this that we learned. And then we think that's we. Therefore, we have different individuals, like Mr. Craig's and Mrs. Craig's, because she learned different things. She has different experience from life. She gleaned from different books. And she made her own judgment from what she learned also. And he made his own judgment. And so we are all separated. Otherwise, we are never separated. We are the knowledge house. We are together without the bodies. And as soon as we assume the body and we assume more knowledge from different sources, we identify ourselves differently from the neighbors. And that's when dividedness starts. That's when we start to get into the trap of ignorance and forget our origin, right? So the more you learn, the farther you are from knowledge. So that's why I have difficulty to convince this guy that he's okay, because he thought he's not okay. He's so okay, but the way I look at him, that he's good. You know what I mean? He has saintly quality and he's selfless because he wants to do things for other people. But he thought to be a master or to do a saintly work, he has to do something else. But I don't know what kind of illusion he has in his mind. But he's doing a saintly job. For example, you don't need to preach to people to be a master. What you're doing today is a master job. You don't realize it. So the problem with us is that we don't recognize our true selves, because we recognize the false self, the false conception about the self, about even how a saint should be, and what a saint should experience, and what a saint should have. We are not in business. We should not always ask God, give me experience, give me light, give me sound right now, lift me to heaven. Don't. Offer it to other people, even if you don't have it. So we don't always ask God to do things for us. I think we have to turn the table. We have to do things for God. So the problem with us is that we too undermine God. You know, we think, okay, I do all this. I want so much and he doesn't know. That's why he doesn't give me this, he doesn't give me that. He don't give me satisfaction of spiritual practice. Well, we're really cursing him. We're scolding him. Like he's deaf, dumb, stupid, know nothing about what you want. Right. So actually it's our fault. It's your fault. You have not enough faith in God. Doesn't matter how long you boast about it. It's boiled down to that point. So I sacrifice everything just because one person's sacrifice made thousands, millions of people happy. And I consider that is a very lucrative business. So being a businessman, I think you know what to do. What do you want for a Buddha? What kind of Buddha do you want?
I want a nice one.
Right. Okay, so I have to sit with you, laugh with you, cry with you. So we have fun together. And this morning somebody asked me, I took some medicine because I am a little bit sick. He said, you are sick? You know, just like the way he looked, like, you're supposed to be a Buddha. You don't get sick, right? I said, well, everybody gets sick, so I get sick, right? We share everything. Just like people in Laguna Beach, their house burned down, not my house. But I give donation just because their house burned, just like my house burned. For example, if I were them, if I don't get enlightenment, if I live in that house, and if my house burned, I would be terribly upset and unhappy. So I put myself in their situation. Understand what I mean? So I do something just to comfort them, because their suffering is my suffering. That's the way we are together. We are united. We have to show it somehow. We don't just talk. We don't just say, I love my neighbor, or you and I are one. But then when they are suffering, oh, it's okay. I have nothing to do with me. Understand what I mean?
Yes.
So when you are sick, I'm sick also. Well, I am here. I have everything that you have. Otherwise, I only have pleasure. It's good to be a Buddha. And everybody can be. No, you always have illusion about being a master. That you will enjoy a lot more than while you are being disciple. It's not true. If you yearn for God more, the more you long for God, the nearer you are to God, the nearer you are to masterhood, and the nearer you have to understand the master position. It means you sacrifice. Masterhood means sacrifice. Yes, you have joy. Yes, that is a very stable joy. It has no effect from the chaotic situation of the world, but you suffer. Suffer for everybody. And if you don't want to be in that situation, then you have to want God less. You have to enjoy the world more and forget God. Forget Master. Okay? Then you will be further, a little bit further from the powerhouse. And then you don't suffer so much and then you enjoy more. Right? Just like the cook in the kitchen now. He has to cook for us. If he wants to enjoy the way we do, he has to leave the kitchen. Let somebody else cook. So somebody has to cook for all these people to enjoy. So the master is the same. Or if anyone who love master so much, I don't mean you love me personally or any other master. I mean when you love the truth so much, when you want nothing else but God, then you're very near to master, you know, master power, master quality. And that's when you don't enjoy. I'm sorry to say, that's a very paradoxical thing. But that's the way it is. So if you don't want all this sacrifice unintentionally, if you want more kind of heavenly mansion or heavenly light and all that kind of fancy stuff, then you don't yearn too much. That's why in Zen they say, the more you desire enlightenment, the less you get, because you obstruct yourself with your desire. But a logical way of speaking is that because you're too near. You know what I mean? You want it too much, that you're so near. You desire that thing so much, that it's you, it become you, you're obsessed with it. So you have to take on that quality. You know what I mean? The way you want God that much is the saintly person who wants it. And now if you are a saint, you are a master, a kind of master soul, then you cannot enjoy it because the whole world suffers. And your soul inside will have to take on the suffer of other people, of the ignorance, of the desperate, I mean, dark, dark experience of the people around the world. So the way now, I don't enjoy the way I did. Now you enjoy. I am the cook now. You know what I mean? I cook in the kitchen all the time. I cannot sit on the table with you with our fancy clothes and with people serve you like this, but I cook. You know what I mean? I don't even get to see you. So, similar with the master. Therefore, the more you yearn for God, the less you see. I'm sorry to say, if everybody else tell you differently. If you yearn halfway, you get it half. If you yearn too much, and you see not much, you suffer. Okay? Because you'll be too near to God, and God knows everything. God knows the suffering of mankind. And in this world, there is more suffering than joy. Understand? So many masters never enjoy this world, but it's good so, because they don't come to enjoy. If you want to enjoy, then you have to come back again, be an ignorant person, and start to enjoy again. If you are already a professor of mathematics or English, and you want to sit in the class and get taught, get served and get loved by a teacher again, that's ridiculous. That's the only way you get the same attention again as you were a student. Most of us have been students in our life, and we regret afterward that we didn't enjoy the student time. Well, I did. When we were students, everybody told us that it's the best time that we could have. But we never know. We don't appreciate it. We want to be professor right now, or better, yesterday. Right? Until we become professor or teacher, then we thought, wow, it was good to be student, right? Carefree. And, you know, everything was easier and youthful, right? No responsibility, and we just party here, party there, and girlfriend here, boyfriend there. Everything was just so easy, right? That's it. But then you cannot go back to be a student again, because you already become professor. Even if you now throw away your degree and go and sit again with the student, you don't have the same experience, and then you complain, why? You say, why? Why I don't enjoy the way she does, the other students enjoy, why I don't? Because you pass that enjoyment. You can't go back, you can't turn back the clock. So whether you have to recognize yourself, whether you are a beginner in this path, which you enjoy more than everyone else, or you have not yet reached the beginning stage of spiritual practice, or you pass beyond the enjoyment stage. There are three stages of enlightenment, languagely speaking. The first is the ignorance stage. You have not even begin to want to practice. You have not even go further than materialism. The second phase is that you are enlightened. You see the light, you see God, you see a heavenly mansion, you see all kind of things while you're in samadhi. You enjoy all this bliss. And the third path, that you pass that. Okay? Just like in school. First, you did not enroll in university. You are nobody. You just a high school dropout or nothing. Okay, now, second, you enroll, right? Enroll is the second path. And you begin to learn something in the university. The third path, you graduated. Understand? So we practitioners have different levels. Just be at ease with yourself. That's where you are. And don't ask for more than you can digest at the time. And don't ask ridiculous things, like you are already a professor, for example, and want to enjoy the student's life. Because the age is different. The mentality is different. Yes. And if you ask me as a master, can do everything for you. Yes, I can. But what for? What for do you want heaven anyhow? We should make this world into heaven, not to escape into it. It's okay when you sit and you have heaven. Naturally, fine. But if you always desire for it, this is also queer. You know what I mean? We are not beggar. If he doesn't give you, don't bother. He's not generous enough, maybe. Okay? It's his fault. And if a creator can afford to make such a mistake as to overlook you, then the more so we don't need to see him. I don't even have time to pay attention to all these heavenly signs, because I use my time to serve you. I only give. I don't want nothing from God, and I want nothing from you. That's very important. So, we have to serve selflessly, and everything else will come. The kingdom of God is not for yourself alone. If I have a kingdom of God, everybody must fit in. Otherwise, I don't go there. I wait for everybody. Yes. What's the good of me sitting there alone, or with you, or with a few disciples enjoying the kingdom of God, and the whole mankind crawling, groveling on the earth with suffering and all that? So the kingdom of God comes after everybody else is enlightened, if it comes to that. I believe to work for everyone else's happiness than to work for my own. So if you continue on that path, you will have more satisfaction than any vision can give you. Okay? So don't be stray from that. Don't get stray. Yeah? Okay, you're doing okay. Just do that. Just serve people. And you have more satisfaction than any vision, than any light or any Buddha's appearance can give you. I tell you the truth. Okay? Right. So let's be the cooks and not the guests all the time. Yeah?
Thank you.
But you do. But you're not satisfied. You thought the guests must be more than that. Because you cook all the time, and then sometimes you go into a restaurant, you imagine that the guest would be such and such. But the guest is only there just to eat. And then that's it. You pay your money and then you go home. No big deal. Similarly, if we have a spiritual vision, sometimes because we expect too much, we think a vision must be this and that and others. It's not, you know what I mean? It's a very ordinary thing. It's not like electric shock that you know when it comes or when it goes. It's very gentle. The transition between materialism into a spiritual sphere is very, very gentle. Therefore, it's not a kind of astral projection that you know when you're out of the body, because it's not the way of the true spiritual practice. True spiritual practice ease yourself, ease the self into different dimensions in such a very gentle and graceful way that you don't even know you were there, because you have no more ego while you were there. Otherwise, you will know, now I'm on the first, now I'm on the second, now I'm on the third, I'm the same. Third degree or third years. It's not good. Because, I tell you why, because we're already always there where we want to be. So what is the point of knowing where you're going and what degree you reach? For example, maybe when you first graduate in law school, are you proud? Yes, you probably tell everybody about it, make many parties, because you want to celebrate your graduation as a doctor of law. But after some years, you don't even remember that you are a lawyer, no? Occasionally people ask, you would remember, but without any pride, without any elation, without any happiness, nothing, because you are just that. Nothing new to you. Similarly, some of us are so acquainted with spiritual elation that it becomes like breathing. That is the way it should be, actually. It's not always that I sit here and watch in the Buddha's land, because then we are still separated. We are not in the Buddha land. We are watching the Buddha land. We and the Buddha land are two. The nearer masterhood, the more ignorant you will become again. That's the paradoxical things of life. That's why in the Tao Te Ching, Lao Tzu say, the wise is like the fool, yes, ignorant. Yes, you become like recycle again. But it doesn't mean you're ignorant the way you were ignorant before. It's not the same. Before you were truly ignorant. Before you were ignorant, and now you're truly ignorant. Ignorant in the real sense. Before you were ignorant, but you think you're wise. You cheat yourself into wisdom and think that you know everything. But now you know that you're truly ignorant, and that's when you are wise. Because when you're empty, then you are full. Yeah? The universe is yours. So this is a complete vegetarian diet, bloodless, boneless, fleshless. All you have is the essence of life. Nothing more. And it's nice to have dinner without thinking of someone else have to suffer for it, right? Okay, that's the main reason for vegetarian diet. Otherwise, the Buddha don't care what you eat, and God doesn't tell you anything. You choose your own way of life, and choose whatever, the less suffering, the better, for us as well as for others. Yeah, they have asked me many things this morning about why vegetarian, and apart from spiritual standpoint, there also health standpoint, yeah? All scientists have proved that meat is not good for us, right? So they accepted that.
Some of the diseases related to meat consumption and or production, rabies, anthrax, sleeping sickness, Q fever, norovirus, swine flu, Ebola Restin virus. Cured meats and fish increase leukemia risk in children. Antibiotic-resistant superbug infections from a strain of Staphylococcus aureus. Blue tongue disease, E. coli, Salmonella, bird flu, mad cow disease, or Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, 90% of the population at risk. Pig's disease, or PMWS, listeriosis, shellfish poisoning, preeclampsia, Campylobacter, Clostridium difficile, diseases hidden in healthy appearing livestock.
Some of the costs of meat eating.
Infertility. Eating just one serving of meat per day increases the risk of women's infertility by 32%, with additional meat consumption increasing the risk.
Heart disease. Over 17 million lives lost globally each year. Cost of cardiovascular disease is at least $1 trillion a year.
Cancer. Increased childhood cancers and adult reproductive cancers from hormones in meat.
Colon rectal cancer. Over 1 million new colon cancer patients diagnosed each year. More than 600,000 colon cancer-related mortalities annually. In the United States alone, colon cancer treatment costs about $6.5 billion. Millions of people are newly diagnosed with other meat-related cancers every year.
Diabetes. 246 million people are affected worldwide.
An estimated $174 billion spent each year on treatment in just the United States. Obesity. Worldwide, 1.6 billion adults are overweight, with 400 million more who are obese. Costs $93 billion each year for medical expenses in the United States alone. At least 2.6 million people die annually from problems related to being overweight or obese.
Environmental. Use up to 70% of clean water. Pollute most of the water bodies. deforest the lungs of the earth, uses up to 43% of the world's cereal, uses up to 85% of the world's soy, cause world hunger and wars, 80% cause of global warming, plus more.
Some of the costs of milk consumption: cowpox from milking cows, bacterial microbes, pesticides, and enzymes found in cheese derived from the inner stomach linings of other animals. Up to 80% of the calories in cheese are from pure fat. Breast, prostate, and testicular cancer from hormones present in milk. Listeria and Crohn's disease. Hormones and saturated fat leads to osteoporosis, obesity, diabetes, and heart disease. Linked to higher incidences of multiple sclerosis. Classified as a major allergen. Lactose intolerance. Plus more.
For help quitting, please visit
For more urgent information, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/killers.
Master, nobody has said this yet, and I...
Supreme Master Qinghai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
Thank you for your loving presence for today's episode of Words of Wisdom. Now, please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for Golden Age Technology, coming up next after Noteworthy News. We wish you everlasting joy and peace.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/WOW.